Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Central Indiana. Thank you for listening this morning. Hear the conclusion as we are going to look at the agricultural patterns in Scripture. Again, speaking of first fruits, with the wheat that is matured earlier than the rest of the harvest, and they were to make two loaves of bread, and they were to bake them with leaven. And then there was the harvest, and the Lord tells Israel that when they reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. We read about the gleanings in the book of Ruth. That is how Ruth met Boaz. So there are three parts to a harvest. There is the first fruits, there is the main harvest, and then there is the gleanings. The split rapture is seen in Elijah being taken out of the earth by a chariot of fire and of horses. We talked about this last week. Elijah was left behind with a double blessing of the Spirit to finish his maturing in the earth. Also, the split rapture can be seen in the parable of the 10 virgins. Five were foolish and left behind, while the other five were counted as wise, for they did not let their lamps go out. The book of Revelation is the book of consummation, as we talked about last week. It means the book of completion, or the book of last things, the book of end times. The book of Revelation has seven divisions. There are seven churches, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven personages, seven vials, seven dooms, and seven new things. There are also seven raptures spoken of in the book of Revelation, though not all are distinct one from another. John's vision, right after the seven churches, mirrors the pre-tribulation rapture, as we discussed last week. The pre-tribulation is first illustrated in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. John the Revelator said, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." John sees the multitude, again, of pre-tribulation raptured saints before the throne of God. Last week I discussed with you that there are two great tribulations, one during the church age, great in duration, 2,000 years, and one after the church age, great in intensity, but short in duration. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The third rapture seen in the book of Revelation is the rapture of the two witnesses. Possibly those two witnesses could be Moses and Elijah that the Lord saw on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the apostles, the three apostles, who are killed in the future tribulation by the beast, also known as the Antichrist, and are raptured before the view of the whole world. It tells us in Revelation chapter 11, "And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." That definitely speaks of a rapture in the book of Revelation. The fourth rapture, Revelation 12:5. It says, "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." This man-child is not speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is speaking about the sons of God, the saints of God, and not the Lord Jesus Christ. It is another picture of the pre-tribulation saints. She being the city of Jerusalem from above, the heavenly Jerusalem that is the mother of us all, as we are told in Galatians 4:26. There are two Jerusalems in Scripture, an earthly Jerusalem and a heavenly Jerusalem. Revelation 12:5 is prophetical, just like the entire book of Revelation, and is a picture of things to come, not a historical picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this man-child in Revelation 12:5 is the faithful saints of the pre-tribulation rapture, the overcomers, as spelled out in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, through the 2,000-year church age. Jesus said to the church in Thyatira, "He that overcometh," that's speaking of the man-child, "the many he's that have overcome and kept my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he," the man-child, "shall rule over them with a rod of iron." The fifth revelation, or the fifth rapture that we see in the book of Revelation, 144,000 Jewish sealed servants of God who are martyred during the future Great Tribulation. This will be a Jewish first fruits, which were first introduced to us in the book of Revelation chapter 7, who go out as evangelists throughout the earth. By the time chapter 14 rolls around in the book of Revelation, they are before the throne of God because they were martyred. Whereas the pre-tribulation raptured saints will be a Gentile first fruits, the 144,000 will be a Jewish first fruits. And this speaks to what we have read in the book of Leviticus, the two loaves that speak of the two first fruits, a Jewish first fruits and a Gentile first fruits. These two distinctly different first fruits, Jewish and Gentile, are seen in the two loaves of the leavened bread in the feast of first fruits. A sixth revelation or a sixth rapture that we see in the book of Revelation is chapter 14. We see two harvests. The fourth angel of six distinctly different angels seen in this chapter is reaping the wheat harvest, a rapture within the great tribulation. Another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. The gleaning of tribulation saints that did not take the mark of the beast and were beheaded for their witness of Jesus is the seventh and final rapture seen in the book of Revelation, chapter 15, verse 2. We read, "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God." The pattern of several first fruits, then a harvest, and lastly a gleaning can be easily seen in the Old Testament first fruit offerings in Leviticus chapter 23. These various harvests are seen in the various raptures that we have learned about here in the book of Revelation. Therefore, it is clearly seen that the rapture is a type of harvest. The pattern: the harvest follows the first fruit. The harvest is not the complete extraction of all the crops from the field, but note the gleaning. In Leviticus 23, we read in verse 22, "And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God." This was God's gracious welfare program for the poor in Israel. Let me close with this verse, my friends. In the book of Luke, the Lord gives us a stern warning. "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting." Surfeiting means gluttony and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of God. The wise virgins that hear the announcement of the coming of the bridegroom, those saints that are living at his coming and have oil in their lamps, are the Gentile firstfruits that will not see the hour of temptation. The Lord had promised the church of Philadelphia they would not see the hour of temptation in Revelation 3:10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see these many raptures alluded to in the book of Revelation. Let me read this passage to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 23. And we have been in this chapter since last week. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. That speaks of the first Adam and the last Adam, also found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the firstfruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Christ is responsible for launching the sowing of the wheat, but not for the date of its maturity. It is not Christ's return that rules the ripeness of the wheat, but the ripeness of the wheat that rules the date of Christ's return. Jesus taught in the book of Mark, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Again, remember, corn in the King James English means kernel or grain. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. We saw the term sickle in Revelation chapter 14. Fruit is the underlying message that the Lord is conveying. Fruit determines maturity or ripeness. Ye shall know them by their fruits, the Lord teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount. Do men gather thorns, grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Jesus taught allegorically about himself being the true vine, and believers being the branches, and that it was in their best interest to abide in him so they would bring forth much fruit. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. The Father is the farmer. Jesus is the true vine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Again, we see that over and over again spoken in the scriptures, these agrarian patterns to help us understand these heavenly principles. Fruitlessness is a terrible detriment for the believer. Just read the parable of the talents and the parable of the 10 pounds. The vintage, the harvest of the earth, is fully ripe. The vintage is the time of gathering the crops of the ripe grapes. The vintage follows the threshing of the wheat, as we learned in Leviticus chapter 26. The threshing of the wheat takes place right after the harvest when the chaff is broken up from the kernel of wheat. In Revelation 14, we see three harvests, the first being the first fruits, the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. The second, there is the harvest of the believers in the earth during the tribulation. This is a major harvest. And the last event is the vintage of the wicked inhabitants of the earth, the true grapes of wrath. Not the John Steinbeck's novel, Wrath, Grapes of Wrath, but the true grapes of wrath from the Scripture. This grapes of wrath is clearly seen in Revelation 14, verses 18 through 20. The grapes of wrath is also many times pictured in the Old Testament. In the book of Isaiah, the Lord says, "Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them." This is a look all the way back in the Old Testament and looking to the future Armageddon, the Battle of Armageddon, when he will come down and plant his feet on the Mount of Olives, and the sword of the word will go out and slaughter the nations that come up against Israel. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out. Their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountain shall be melt with their blood. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Edomia. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls. And their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with the fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. All the nations that have stumbled over the nation of Israel and don't know what to do with the nation of Israel and have this pent-up anger and hatred for the nation of Israel, the Lord will bring his vengeance. There will be a Jewish remnant that flees into the wilderness, not revealed in Revelation 14, that will be saved at the close of the seven-year great tribulation, that will be alive when Christ comes to the earth in his glory. It tells us in the book of Zechariah, chapter 13, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, and the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire." There's that fire, the fiery judgment, "and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." In Revelation 12:6, the woman fled into the wilderness. That's Jerusalem, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. There is also the sheep nations that the Lord gathers on his right hand, and that will go with him into the millennial kingdom. These nations will be Gentiles alive at the time of Christ's return to the earth. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Again, we read in the book of Luke, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with gluttony." The old King James uses the surfeiting, "and drunkenness, and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares, just like the five foolish virgins. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye," speaking to the disciples, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, "watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." My friends, don't be like the foolish virgins, slumbering and have no oil in their lamp, that their light has gone out. Be like the wise virgins and have oil in your lamp. Join us this morning at Crown of Life Baptist Church. We are meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 10 o'clock in the Hamilton Hall Conference Room.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.